And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? And what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's palaces or king's houses. And what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yes, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So you see now, it's written, I'm sending a messenger before you to prepare the way for you to come. Jesus referred back to Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. It's a forerunner. For the first coming of Jesus Christ, there will be a forerunner for the second coming of Jesus Christ. How do you prepare the way for Jesus Christ to come? You must dematronize the people. You must get the matriarchal program out of their minds to be able to see, to receive the Son of God from the Father of the Son. It's all patriarchy. With a matronized mind, you can't receive Jesus, because he's coming in the form of a patriarch, a son of a father. You're looking for a mama, and he's not coming as your mama. That's why you can't receive commands. When you're matronized, you can't receive commands, because you're too tenderoni inside. You got too much femininity inside of you. Do you not know that a woman has a patriarchal heart? A woman is from the womb of a man. She accepts that. I came out from a man. I'm comfortable from it. Adam was first formed, then Eve. I'm all right with that. I settled it in my soul that leadership is patriarchal. I'm fine with that. A woman, a real woman, has a patriarchal soul. She acknowledges male headship and the fatherhood of God, so she can take commands and not be offended by them. Notice how he said, blessed is he that is what? Not what? Offended in me. See, he's offensive when you don't have the right soul in you. When you got a Jezebel spirit in you, Jesus will offend you, because you're trying to be what he is. He can't tell me anything because I'm trying to take the authority away from him. So Jesus can't tell me anything. The authoritative word of God will be disavowed because I'm not letting 1 Timothy chapter 3 tell me anything about the qualifications of a pastor. He must be the husband of one wife. If a man does not know how to rule his own household well, how can he govern the household of God? 1 Timothy chapter 3 gives you the exact dictates for a pastor and a bishop and an overseer. So how can you look at it and not see it? Because you're a rebel against it. Titus tells you the same thing. The elements that make up a governing household, a governorship in the household of God, patriarchal. How can you not see it? Because you're a rebel against it and you do not want to see it. And I'm telling you, you better change. You better change. He's already prophesied in Revelation 2:18 and following that he's going to kill the children of Jezebel with death. He's going to annihilate you, and it's going to be done by God, not the devil, because you're in his way. You better hear what I am telling you. This is a warning. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, when John showed up in the spirit of Elijah, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent are accosted by force. They take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is who? Elijah, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you or played instruments, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he had the devil. He didn't eat or drink. He came from the wilderness eating locusts and wild honey, and he's demon-possessed, they say it. The Son of Man, Jesus, came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous, an overeater, and a wine bibber, which means a drunkard. So it couldn't be referring to grape juice, calling him a wine bibber, because a wine bibber is a man that's drunk because he had some wine with his fish dinner. That's that self-righteous spirit. You see, the rebels, those that hated God, called John the Baptist a demon-possessed man. The religious crowd called Jesus a glutton and a wine bibber. You can't satisfy flesh. Whether it be a rebel or whether it be religious, that's still flesh. You can't help it because it doesn't want to be helped. It's a rebel. He's a friend of publicans and sinners because Jesus didn't disassociate with people. He wasn't exclusive. He dealt with everybody on an equal footing. And they said he's fooling around with sinners and publicans and anybody, Samaritans and stuff. I don't know. He can't be the Messiah. He's unclean. That's the self-righteous religious mind. Then he says, wisdom is justified of her children. Whatever you claim to be wisdom, you justify the outside of you based on what you say is right. You justify your own wisdom and your own carnal logic by your dictates and your decisions you make about your environment. Wisdom is justified by her children. Whatever you made yourself believe, you will justify yourself in what you made yourself believe. You're going to just take 1 Timothy chapter 3 and say that's just Paul talking. When the Bible says no scripture of God is of any private interpretation, but holy men of God spake as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. Now you want to go and pick and choose other scriptures that are applicable, but you want to disavow the one that won't let you do what you want to do. That's a warped mind. It's something real, real, real badly wrong with you, man. Something has hit you like an atomic bomb, messing your mind up. Going to pick and choose out of the Bible what you want to ingest and digest. No, buddy. He told him in Revelation, eat the whole roll, eat the whole scroll. You got to eat the whole deal. It says what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 gives you the order. God, Christ, man, woman, children in obedience. The system of the devil, Satan, the Antichrist, woman, man, children in rebellion. The Bible says the children's teeth are set on edge because of rebellion. Go read Isaiah chapter 3 and 4 and watch how God comes against the rebellion of the women in those two chapters. Ending with a curse. Seven women want to take hold of one man because they won't have anybody, because nobody wants this rebellious, thick-headed group of women. It's a curse on the Jezebel spirit. That's why you got to fight like a mad person to get that thing off of you and out of you so you have no covenant cut with it. 1 Kings 19. See, the Bible is a jigsaw. You can't just read it straight through. You got to jump around like this because it's putting it together for you to see the big picture. You try to read it straight through, you won't get the full meaning. That's why sitting under teaching is important. You know the story. Elijah confronted Jezebel. He called down fire from heaven, destroyed all the false prophets, and the rain returned because he had removed the barrier to the rain. When he confronted Jezebel and Ahab and destroyed the prophets and all the stuff they had built, God sent the Holy Ghost flooding into the arena because the barrier to the Holy Ghost was removed. Know this about the devil. Everything he does is an attempt to thwart the pouring out of the Holy Ghost. He knows out of your belly will flow this river of living water. So he tries to send a deluge of stuff into your life to distract you away from concentrating on having the dam break on the inside of you, to let that water pour out of you. So it gets you caught up in the outside and what people are doing and what somebody is saying to you, how they're treating you. Forget the outside of you. Break the inside of you and let that river flow. It'll get you right if nobody else gets right. 1 Kings 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel, look, as soon as Elijah had opened up the river gates and the thing had begun, sissy Ahab goes running back to Jezebel. And Ahab told Jezebel, man, why don't you do something about it yourself, man? Why don't you do something about it? Those sissy spirits report back to the women all the time. They're waiting to get the okay from the woman. A lot of these pastors in the pulpit are getting the okay from their wives about what to say or not to say. Well, baby, what you think we ought to do? What you think I ought to do? Harry, sit your butt down over there somewhere and shut up and let me figure this thing out. You're so stupid. And he's supposed to be leading. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods, all the demon gods, all the demons and fallen angels I worship, let them do to me and more also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. And he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. This is the prophet, the powerful prophet that just called down fire from heaven, now running from one woman. He faced 850 men who were prophets, but one woman made him run. Why? She was a witch. She just said what she'd do, and the Bible says when he saw it. How can you see what somebody said? What did she do? She divined into his imagination. And he ran from his own imagination. He could have stood there and God would have worked through him to destroy Jezebel. But he ran from the forecasted witchcraft on his mind. Folks are always trying to make you indecisive. Double think yourself. Are you sure? Hath God said, the serpent says. See how he gets in? They hate somebody that talks authoritatively with finality, that will not change, not one inch. I'm not changing one inch what I said. I'm standing right here, come hell or high water, not varying one inch from what I said. I'm not questioning it. I'm not double thinking it. I'm not reevaluating it. Well, you're pretty proud, and I'm not proud. But if I succumb to that junk that's being forecasted on me, I'll be a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. You can't receive anything from the Lord. You better stop second-guessing yourself, and you better know what you believe and stand on it. If not, that Jezebel spirit will make you doubt even your own salvation. Jump down to verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, talking to Elijah, go return unto the way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you come, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elijah, the son of Shaphat of Abimelech, shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapes the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. And him that escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elijah slay. Yet have I left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him. God has himself a remnant that is not matriarchal, that is patriarchal. He has forged them for a time and a season. 7,000 people didn't buy into this. And I've got them reserved for a time and a season. As it was then, so it is now. God has got himself a church remnant that will not be matriarchal. They will come alive and come forth at the end times to culminate this age. I'm preaching to them right now. You just don't see them. But they're worldwide. They're available. But you just got to give them the confidence and the motivation to know somebody's right. And somebody's wrong. You got to be able to stand on it. Sometimes when you preach the anointed word of God, it's empowering people to make a stand in austere conditions, sometimes all by themselves. It's possible to be a woman living in a household with an Ahab spirit, and you're not a Jezebel. You're just the woman of God that is submitted to patriarchal authority, but your husband hasn't. He's got that Ahab girly spirit in him. So you can recognize patriarchy, but your husband is still afraid of it. He's still feminine. He still got that thing of pinning himself to his mother. And he carries his mother's spirit in him. And I don't want to offend my mama by being too authoritative and being too manlike, because my mama didn't raise a man. She raised a girl. And I was castrated a long time ago by my mama. As a matter of fact, my mama got my gonads. And when I get them back from her, maybe then I can fight a little bit. Look, man, you better go somewhere and repent and ask God to return the normalcy of a man to you, so you can walk in the spirit, not fulfilling the lust of your flesh. How'd the Bible end when the Old Testament ended? The last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, ended with these words in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. Behold, I will send you. This is the end of the New Testament now. I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet, ending the Old Testament, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, the tribulation period. Before the tribulation period begins, before the end of the age culminates, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. He's going to return the patriarchal heart. He's going to patronize the heart of the children. I got to turn them back to their fathers. They got to return back to God, crying what? Abba, Father. You got to be subject to the Father of spirits to live. That's where the missing link is. We're looking at a generation and a civilization bathed in matronized people. All they know is dealing with female form and female logic and being dictated to by female minds. It's everywhere. Whoopi Goldberg is telling you what to do. Wendy Williams is telling you what. Look at what Wendy Williams is interested in. How can you get a bunch of women this stupid to sit on TV and hang around Wendy Williams with that stupid junk she talks about all morning long, just talking about other people all day, getting into their business? Oh, I got the latest gossip. Ooh, y'all don't know what I heard. Wait till you hear this. I gotta be something at somebody else's expense because I'm really nobody. Then they put Tamar on TV now, and you can't even figure out what they're talking about. It's crazy. And they sit there with all these women cheering in the audience, getting all happy and laughing and happy, following behind an empty-headed gibberish. A Jezebel spirit will make you crazy. But you'll lift up other women full of the Jezebel spirit, and she'll serve as queen of the witches. A pack of witches with a witch queen leading them into destruction. You're about to be destroyed. You just don't know it. I'm warning you. That's all I can do. The matronized mind is an ugly thing. How does a man's mind become matronized? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is the doorway to the matronized mind of a man. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 15. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know you not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two saith, he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee, run from fornication, man. Because when you laid down with that whore, you became a whore. You think like a whore. You have the emotional makeup of a whore. Your life reflects that you're a whore. So now you're soft. You got on earrings. You got hair grown down your back. Your pants are pulled down to your knees. You're covered in tattoos. You're looking crazy, walking around looking and acting like a woman, because you became a little whore, because you joined to these whores and you became one flesh. Don't you know a whore is the man in a sexual union? So the man is going to subject himself to her and take on her attributes. Whereas in a normal union, the woman submitted to a man will then become what the Bible calls the glory of the man. The glory of the man is the woman. She'll illuminate the man and show you who he is by how she conducts herself. Ladylike, she's going to be modest. She's going to be a person that's going to show forth gracefulness to people and be showing a lot of compassion and love to people. That's the reflection of that guy. She acts like a demure woman. But in the devil's kingdom, the whore is masculine and the man is feminine. And the man begins to act like a little whore. Shaves his head all around the sides and gets his hair all nappy on top. Running down the basketball court looking like an empty-headed moron, a nappy-headed ninny. Women getting married with guys with all these braids draped down their back like a woman. You need the veil on, man. You need a veil on and a wedding dress. And let the woman wear the tux. Don't be offended. It's the truth. You're taking on the attributes of a woman. And the woman is the man, because a whore is masculine. See how she's hunting for the unstable souls in Proverbs? See, she's seeking out the prey. She's the aggressor, taking down the wimpy guys who are so full of lust for the female form that they submit to the dictates of the woman. I want to have sex so bad, I'll bow the knee to you and become what you want me to be, to gratify and satisfy you. It's a trick of the devil. That's how a man becomes subject to the Jezebel spirit. He joined to that thing in fornication. That's why he says flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They belong to God. Your body and your spirit belong to God. But when you join them to a whore, you've joined them to a witch. And the witch has transformed you into a little girl. Witches and whores work hand in hand. A lot of times you have a woman that's more predominantly a witch than a whore. She might not have the looks to be a whore. She's just rough, tough, and rusty by nature. She just looks rough, tough, and rusty. So she's more prone to be a witch. The pretty girls, the shapely girls, they know they can use that whoredoms to get you, so they'll be more prone to be a whore. But witches and whores come together to work in unison. Whores castrate and weaken the men. Witches dominate and destroy them. So the witches sick the whores like attack dogs on the men, so they can get access to control the environment. It's a lot of women don't mind their husbands being whoremongers and running around with women in the street, because that gives that woman authority in the home. As long as you stay weak, castrated, I can rule you. A lot of mothers want their sons to grow up and be womanizers, because as long as this boy is chasing women in the street, he won't have the authority of a home and leadership and the basis to govern to make him a man. I'd rather see my boy run around with a bunch of whores, laying around with everybody, so I, as his mother, can still dominate him. Because I know he's kept what? Weak. Castrated. He's a eunuch. He's got no gonads, and a woman can dominate him all day long. Guys dress for women. They buy cars to impress women. Everything they do is about trying to impress a woman somewhere. A preacher in the pulpit, most of these guys are there for the women to measure up to their evaluation of them. They never preach what I'm preaching now because they'd offend the women. And they build their empires, according to the Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3, off of what? Silly women. Women who are arrested in their development. What does a pimp on the street? A woman arrested in her development, looking for what? A daddy. Looking for a daddy. A little girl looking for a daddy can be pimped real easy. Creflo Dollar has mastered it. Creflo Dollar down in West Georgia was a psychology major. He's working your emotions and your mind. He's promising you a payday in the future if you do something now for him, just like a master pimp. He's a master pimp. He's a heavy player. He's a big time baller. And all the players in the street will tell you that. They don't have any animosity toward Creflo Dollar. I respect this game. That's what the pimps will tell you. That's what the drug pushers will tell you. The boy got game. I give him his props. It's all about living off other folks. The drug pusher lives off other folks. The pimp lives off other folks. I respect his game. Game can recognize game. But prostituted folks in the pews in the church can't see the game. Then you tell them, and all whores will defend their pimp. Because they're under what? His brainwashing. A pimp is a master warlock. This is witchcraft in the church. The doctrine is all wrong. Prosperity, all that filth is all wrong. You're not getting anything back from paying a tithe to God. You think God needs your stinking money to give you something? God is evil. If you got to prop him up and make him give you something by giving him some money, that makes God evil. Your depiction of God is perverted. You get a blessing by giving God stuff. That's like your daddy not providing food for you unless you pay him first. You're a 5-year-old kid needing food, and your daddy telling you, you better pay me. You better give me $25 if you want something to eat. That's the depiction of God. How can you be a loving father when everything you do for me is contingent upon me giving you something and paying you off? Seed faith offerings came from hell. That's the pit of hell talking to you. It's skewing the image of God. You bought into it, so what I'm saying right now offends you. You're under the sway of a pimp. You've been bewitched. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Having begun in the spirit, are you now perfected in the flesh? He's cast a spell on you. It's pitiful when you meet these people. The guy wants 200,000 people to give $300 apiece to buy himself a $65 million G650 aircraft from Gulfstream when Delta's flying every day, all day. It takes $10,000 to keep that thing in the air to fly from Atlanta to New York City. You can get there round trip for $400 on Delta today. Because don't think about just buying the jet for $65 million. You got to fuel that bad boy and keep it maintained. And the people sit there dumbfounded in a coma. The zombie apocalypse. The walking dead, mesmerized, defending the very pimp that has bound them to prostitution in the streets. I say it, have I become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. Whores castrate and weaken, witches dominate and destroy. You can see them in the Bible, one after another. Eve doing it to Adam. Delilah, Samson, Bathsheba, David, Jezebel, Ahab, Herodias, John the Baptist, Over and over again, the Bible tells you the same thing. The only enemy in the Bible that's being confronted is the Jezebel spirit. The Bible is about a war against the Jezebel spirit and her master, Satan. The devil must usurp authority. A Jezebel spirit that does exactly what her master Satan did. He rose up according to Isaiah 14 and rose up against God and tried to usurp authority over God. A Jezebel spirit does the same thing. And a woman better get somewhere in particular and bombard heaven to get that. If you were born in this generation, I guarantee you, you were born under the auspices of a Jezebel spirit. And it became normal to you. The way you walk, talk, the way you act, interact with people in that Jezebel spirit, it's as normal to you as breathing. And only when God delivers you can you see the depths of how it's embedded in your soul. Amen. You see anybody with something holding on to them, that's the Jezebel spirit. It's got them. Clenched up, tightened up, don't want to go. Because it's made plans in that vessel. And for me to dislodge from this vessel will undermine my plans. And as long as you stay in covenant with that thing, it's going to hold on tight. The Bible calls it a stronghold. Because you haven't decided to disavow it and repent from it and let that devil go. And it's going to cost you your life. Revelation 17, wrap it up right here. Look at this. Look at how the Bible culminates at the end. Revelation 17, what does it end with? You find in Revelation 17, verse 5, and upon her forehead was her name written, Mystery of Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. That's what the thing sires. That's what it spins off. The Jezebel spirit is seen now as a universal global world ruler. That's what it is. It's a world ruler. Remember, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, the rulers of the darkness of this world. Jezebel is a world dominator, a world global ruler. So when that thing actually rides the beast, the universal harlot church is the culmination of the Jezebel spirit. It's taking over the church and it's riding in town on the governments. But remember, the government run by Antichrist turns on his mate, the Jezebel spirit. The Antichrist is the manifestation of Satan incarnate. And it despises the whore, the Bible says, and calls it to be burned up. The Antichrist destroys its bride. The real Christ allows the bride to do what? Rule and reign with him. But the Antichrist and Satan are narcissists. They only love self. So I pimp this hoe, then I destroy this hoe. Because I don't want anybody doing what? Sharing my glory with me. I reign alone. Because the Antichrist Ahab spirit is a homosexual spirit. It loves itself. It uses women, but it will never love women. A pimp is a homosexual spirit. It uses the women on the street and pimps them out and turns them loose on what? Other men. Causes a homosexual spirit. See, it won't ever see men as brethren to walk together in unison to fight a war. I turn whores loose on you in order to keep you docile to make me money. What does the master pimp player like Creflo Dollar do from the pulpit? He holds out the women and turns the women loose on what? Their husbands. And all y'all come to my pimp palace every Sunday morning and Wednesday night. And don't forget to bring my money from the street, ho. You bring me my money, ho. You better have my money. If not, you're going to get a tongue lashing from this pulpit, ho. Because you better have my money. It's all a pimp tell a prostitute. Ho, you better have my tithe. If you can't see this, you don't want to see it. No, it's not pretty. No, it's not nice. No, it's not pristine and proper and prim. It's the truth. And when you got a whore's forehead, you're sitting there stubborn and proud, and you refuse to see 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and following. not grudgingly, nor of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. If we ask you to contribute to something concerning Omega Ministries, the Dunamis Tabernacle, nobody has to. I paint a vision like Habakkuk told you to do. Write the vision down and make it plain, that he that reads it can run with it. That's your choice. You can tell me, price, go somewhere. I say, praise the Lord. Blessings upon you. Have a nice day. Because everybody ain't cut out for this. I put it before that 7,000 people that God has reserved and say, hey, man, let's take the kingdom by force. Let's go on a spiritual excursion and fight a spiritual war against these metaphysical nightmares and destroy them. I'm talking about no tithe. You're not obligated to do anything in God. It's a free will offering. And because we make it a free will offering and we don't obligate people and enslave them, folks just sit there looking. You know why? Because no one is used to being free. A slave is your comfort zone. Obligation feels right to you. You don't do what you have to do in God. You do what you want to do in God. It's a willful obedience because you have bought into what God's plans are. When an obligator comes before you, you've got a warlock or a witch. And they're about to make mincemeat and money off of you. And they're making you to a whore being pimped out. A master pimp, a master player can pimp you out. There are 7,000 men of war out there, I know. The women will follow men of war. If you're a woman of God, you will follow men of war. It won't even be hard to do. What's the target? Jezebelian whores and witches. You strike a blow against that Jezebel spirit and that kingdom of darkness, and everything will unravel. What's the warning God gives to women? You got to accept God's government or prepare to be damned. You got to, within the confines of your heart as a woman, you got to tell the Lord, you know what? I bow the knee to your government. I will not fight you. I will not fight it. I subject myself willfully to the government of God. And whatever is in me that wants to rebel against it, I ask you to remove it from my soul as I lay before you in fasting and prayer to get this mess driven out of my eternal soul so I won't be damned. Witches and whores are at work to bind folks. You have to submit to patriarchal male authority to survive as a woman. What is submission? Let me make this perfectly clear. Matthew chapter 20. Last scripture I got. Matthew chapter 20. I'm going to show you what submission is so you'll stop thinking it's negative. It's not negative. It's positive. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? What do you want, woman? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. Here you got another Jezebel spirit trying to get Jesus to give her two boys something. The boys can't ever speak for themselves. Their mama trying to make arrangements with the Lord to have my two sons, James and John, sit on your right and left side when you get your kingdom established. You just can't get away from this thing. But Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. So that tells you John and James are standing right there with their mama talking for them. Had it been me, if I was Jesus, I would say, hey, you too sissy. Why your mama up here asking me this junk for you? Get some guts, you wimps. But she said, I ain't Jesus, so therefore to answer one like that. And he saith unto them, you shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. But it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. So my Father doles out these rewards. See the distinction between me and my Father, oneness Pentecostal? It's not mine to give. My Father will do it. If you can't see this, again, you don't want to see it. What causes a oneness Pentecostal to see life like he does or she does? The Jezebel spirit. It perverts doctrine. It's the same spirit doing it all the way through the whole program. What causes people to believe in once saved, always saved in Calvinism? The Jezebel spirit. They've been bewitched. And they go offline, separated from the Bible, to some false doctrine. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. So the other 10, you see how it sows discord. Yeah. A Jezebel spirit is designed to separate the brothers. So when the 10 heard what these guys are trying to do, they got mad. Look at them. Trying to get in and get to the right and left side of Jesus in his kingdom. And their mama is promoting the whole deal. But Jesus called them unto him and said, now here's Jesus about to disempower all this junk about being somebody and trying to be a little sissy ruler over the kingdom. But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. Now that's that pimp pastor program where you somewhere in a pastor's appreciation dinner every year giving them a bunch of junk because you so used to being pimped, you got to pay homage to the pimp every year. And the First Lady's Day of Appreciation, of course, when you gave her a brand new Mercedes. You gave the pastor a Bentley and the First Lady a Mercedes, and she wanted a convertible. So we got a convertible Mercedes for her and a Bentley for him, both white, so they can look, you know, in unison. These folks glory in this stuff. Here you are being made a fool out of, and you're glorying in the fact that I am a fool. I am a stupid fool. I gave $2,000 to my pastor's Bentley. Look at me. And they happy. They get happy about being made a fool out of. It's like a prostitute that's bragging about her pimp on the street. I tell you what, Pretty Boy James, he the top earning pimp in this city. I'm one of his stables, 20 of us. We making that boy nothing but green. That boy making big jack off of us. He the top pimp in this city. I want you to know that. How many guys you sleep with last week? I think I had 57 guys. I keep a log. I did 57 guys last week. And my girlfriend, she did about 63 guys. Between the two of us, we did 120 guys last week. And man, Pretty Boy James, you seen that Bentley he got? You seen his new house? We get all that stuff for Pretty Boy. That's how they brag about these old stupid preachers. They're proud of being whores and prostitutes and being pimped out. I say it, they get mad at me. Why? I'm accosting their pimp. Get that whore's forehead out of you. Get that pimp's semen out of you and get free. What's spiritual semen? The words of the pimp from the pulpit. Semen in the spiritual world are words. Jesus says, my words are spirit and they are life. When you listen to words and they indoctrinate you, you're ingesting semen that are taking root in you and changing you into the image of whatever the word produces. Every seed will produce after its own kind. It'll bind you to the pimp the longer you sit under the pimp. Notice how some of you that sat under Creflo Dollar came alive and realized you were being pimped and got out of there. So it broke families up. You got some wives that have separated from husbands because the husband is still pimped out in the church. You got husbands that had to leave their wives behind because they would not be unfaithful to Creflo. They've been so pimped out. They stuck over there with Eddie Long right now, yeah, under a sodomite, pimped out. That's why I'm telling you the gospel is designed to set you free, to make your mind abstract. You get free from personality worship. You walk around whole inside so God can fill you with the Holy Ghost and you can be a personal witness and ambassador for Christ yourself, not depending on anyone else to lead you but the Holy Ghost. But under that arena, There's still order. There's still government. And it's not offensive to you. Why? Because you're a free agent. I don't need government because I'm submissive by nature. I come in here amongst the saints, and I'm not trying to call what the Bible calls what the Bible calls a sedition. I'm not trying to lead an uprising because I got mine. See, when you got your own and you in, you don't need to have an uprising because I'm here. I saved 25 people at my job last week. I got a Bible study at my job and folk getting saved left and right. I'm not trying to cause anything. I'm doing the job. Folks who are not doing the job, all they can do is sit and post on Facebook all day asking questions and stirring up junk, not saving anybody. No fruit of their salvation anywhere. No lineage. All they want to do is talk all day instead of being about the Father's business. He says, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be what?
Minister.
Know what that word is?
Servant.
Diakonos. You get the interpretation in some parts of the Bible, the diakonos is interpreted deacon. You know what it literally means? A waiter. If you're going to be great, you got to become a waiter. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, not to have anybody wait on me, I came to wait on people like a waiter and to give his life a ransom for many. What is submission for a woman? Is the ability to allow the man to be a waiter for you, to serve you. That's godly submission. A Jezebel spirit won't let a man wait on her and serve her because she's trying to be the waiter herself. Imagine yourself at a restaurant and you don't submit to the waiter. I have your water. I have your tea. Oh, no, that's okay. That's okay. Here's your lamb chops. That's okay. I don't want you. Don't put it on the table. I'll get it myself. Ma'am, you can't even go into the kitchen. You can't go in the kitchen. You can't go back here with the waiters or waiting tables. This is off limits to the public. Only the waiters can go to the kitchen and bring out the entrees. You see how you cut off God's blessing? You want to allow God to serve you. Jesus said, I came to be a waiter. I came to serve you people as a leader over you. I'm here to bless you. You see him washing folks' feet, the Son of God. It's time to downgrade who you are and become a servant of everybody, and you'll be fine. I guarantee you, in a woman, it's built in a natural inclination to take care of men. They'll do it all by themselves. You have a gathering. You see it all the time. I've been in a lot of church gatherings. You'll see that woman. Hey, Billy, you want to make your plate? What you want on your plate? And another Jezebel spirit. Let him get his own plate. You ain't got to be me. You ain't no slave. Sound like Jack A, you know? Yeah, Jack used to. Give me my that. Look. Stop this Jack A spirit stuff. Jack A spirit. You got a Jack A spirit, man. Stop. Anytime they see you in any kind of role as a servant and a submitted wife, they get offended. Ooh, child, I can put up with that. a lot of married women can't hang around those wild single women. It's crazy, man, because they try to undermine your home. And as soon as y'all break up, she be slipping around the back door. Henry, I see you and Martha are divorced now, and I was just wondering. Look. It's game out there. Y'all better wake up. A Jezebel spirit does not like to see the format of the nuclear family with women and men interacting in a loving relationship. The Bible says to submit yourself one to the other. It's servanthood that keeps a family together and a husband and wife together. But the woman recognizes the final authority and the headship of the home is this man. You need to just calm down inside. Let that tuning fork stop going off inside of you about this. It started vibrating because you was a whore. That's what started the vibrations. You went out there off from under the covering of a man and got into whoredoms, and it drove you into this realm of becoming a man yourself. And now somebody talks to you and the man in you is jumping around. I'm masculine. I'm a man. Okay, go lift up that 150-pound box and bring it over here. See, everybody wants to be a man as a woman until you got to really do something for real and you got to really get down. Now you can't handle it. I thought you was a man. All the men taking 150-pound boxes in the back, everybody got 25 apiece to take back there. There's your 25 right there. Y'all think y'all can help me carry this stuff? This stuff heavy. Now hold it now. You want to be equal rights and equal quality and equal. Everybody's equal. What's the problem now? A Jezebel spirit will hang you out to dry, put you out on a limb and saw it off. We got to get as far away from this trash as we can. Because God is declaring war on Jezebel spirits and witchcraft. The spirit of Elijah comes to annihilate that thing, to remove the cholesterol that separates God from his people so latter rain can fall. All God is allowing is for Creflo to put out that ad for that $65 million jet to show people, you see him? That's God putting the spotlight on somebody. All y'all sitting over here, you see that? Now folk coming to everybody going to World Changers saying, y'all going to buy that? You how much you giving to it? And you got to sit there, well, what? You Elmer Fudd or somebody? Now you want to start stuttering and going on. Have you ever flown in the jet? What? You bought a jet and you can't even get in the jet. Go tell Crumple you want to fly to Chicago to visit your grandmother in the jet and see what he tell you. Don't be stamped stupid in your forehead. Stupid. Get away from this crazy mess. Get into an environment where the saints are free doing the works of the ministry and get on with it. Anything that's brought as a contribution to a ministry is absorbed into the ministry and redistributed to achieve the works of the ministry. That's the way it works. Eldership and deacons are in place to govern resources because people might have needs. No high chairs allowed. High chairs are for babies. The entire church paradigm and governorship of the church is changing to how God designed it to be. Governing elders, no master pastor over the environment. That's over. You better wake up. The new world order is going to face off against the new church order. Jezebel has to be brought down. So you see now, we got millions of men trapped in deep ditches. Whores and witches, they dig deep ditches. These guys are laid up between a woman's legs and found themselves deep down in the slippery walls of a deep vagina and can't climb out. Emasculated, castrated, made into eunuchs, no testosterone flowing because they got no testicles to generate it. And that's what we're looking at. And you look at the sad state of affairs down here. You don't hear this in church. Why? Because the pulpit is under the control of the Jezebel spirit. It dominates it. So nobody has the guts to say it. How many messages are these guys like T.D. Jakes and Joel Osteen and Creflo Dollar and Kenneth Copeland preaching about the filth of abortion? How much are you talking about the homosexual agenda and the takeover of the world? How much do they bring up the new world order and the end time regimentation of society, the mark of the beast, the end time persecution of the saints, the tribulation period? What are you wasting all this time talking about stupid prosperity for when the end of the age has come upon us. That's the telltale sign that the Jezebel spirit is diverting people away from what is necessary and practical into gibberish that doesn't even matter. Have your best life now. Motivational speeches. It's garbage. It's garbage. Women have to be reprogrammed to walk with men again. That's a radical reprogramming now to walk with men. Because everything in your life has been trying to program you to be anti-men. You just didn't know it. It's an embedded program the devil has been working on in your mind and your soul to make you stand against male authority and to break men down to make them in subjection to you so that God can't come into the arena. But God is still searching for a few good men who will stand up and stop being antagonistic. You got guys right now. I'll preach what I'm preaching right now. And they start flying all around looking for somebody else to listen to. And look, man, at some point, you better settle down where you are, get with the proper leadership and authority, and go with them. That's why a lot of junk that tries to come into the Omega group on Facebook, we delete it and get it out of the way. Because it's just a distraction away from the mission. We've got a mission assigned to this particular fragment or section of the army. We can't be diverted hither, thither, there, and everywhere. We got to stay focused on our particular mission, which is to establish a base camp, replicate saints to go out and do the job, not sitting in theater style sitting forever, sitting around listening to sermons forever. That's a pitiful state to be in. You're supposed to be saved and born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, and there's no replication or duplication or regeneration of yourself in another person. Something is wrong with you. It needs to be fixed. The Jezebel spirit, witchcraft, whoredoms is inundating the atmosphere, and it must be stopped. The spirit of Elijah comes to confront it, tear down the altars and the idols, and set the captives free by releasing the souls from the spirit of being a prostitute. Church has become a pimp prostitute paradigm. The people are treated like prostitutes, being pimped out, and it's normal to them, and they brag on the pimps. That spirit has to be broken, and the people have to be set free. And the engrafted word under the anointing of the Holy Ghost is God's hammer to break down that altar and break up fallow ground to receive the word of God to set a soul free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Remember, whores and witches are digging deep, deep ditches, snaring your soul and having you pent up 500 feet underground in a ditch, slowly rotting away to die. Man, think about that. I couldn't take being confined in a narrow pit 500 feet underground, left there a day going by. You still can't die. 2 days, 3 days. 4 days, though. You might survive another week without dying. Just pent up. Your legs bent up behind you. Your head cramped down between your chest and your lap. And you pent up down there, trapped, and can't move. I'd rather you just blow my brains out than to pin me up in something like that and just leave me to die. That's what people are in church. Whores and witches have dug deep ditches. And all we're trying to do is pull you out and save your eternal soul. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God. Bless these words. Anchor them to the ears of the hearer. Bring them up out of these ditches and let them live again. It's time to break the back of the devil and set these captives free. The church, God, has become a prison house. The demons are the guards in the prison, cloaking as pastors and deacons and elders and shepherds and prophetesses and women pastors. And all. It's just a pile and a group of vagabond, raggedy, roughneck demons, cloaking as ministers of God. The Bible says Satan is transformed into an angel of light. And no wonder, don't marvel about it, Because his ministers become ministers of righteousness. God, set the captive free. Take these words. Set them aflight on wings of an eagle. And let these words travel around the world to break the back of the Jezebel spirit. Yes. Wherever this message is held in high esteem, wherever this message is heard, break the back of the Jezebel spirit with it. Let it be like a hammer to break down that stronghold of Jezebel and set captive free. Do it for your glory. Do it for your honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to wrap it up for this week. Remember three things. One, prayer every night, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. 1-805-399-1000. 1-805-399-1000. Access code 409-3672. Conference this May, 2 months away, May 22nd through the 25th here in Atlanta. Register now, www.omegaministries.org. All the dictates for the conference are self-explanatory. Just follow the links. It'll take you through reservation and registration. Register first and then get your reservations at the hotel. And everything will just flow. Make your travel arrangements and be here with bells on. Friday night is the welcome service where we greet everybody coming into town. Friday night it kicks off into Saturday morning, Saturday evening, Sunday morning, and finally dismissal Sunday evening. And you know, Monday is a holiday, Memorial Day. So you got a layover day or travel time that's not going to be rushed because you got an extra day. Lastly, the Dunamis Tabernacle. Listen to this message. Click off of it. Turn it off. Go to www.omegaministries.org. Hit support. Donate. We're going to raise this tabernacle up. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Because there's going to be an army of God and a boot camp for the army to operate from. It's time to change the whole church paradigm away from this prison camp to a free-flowing, free environment open 24 hours a day that's going to service the saints. Not for man, not for some king on a throne. The saints need to be serviced. We need to take care of the saints again. Good night. What is wrong with people? It's the universal body. It's the saints that make up the church. You're living stones. You are the church. How can the church be turned over to the government of one guy getting fed and becoming a millionaire when the saints are the church, not him, the saints? Man, this ain't even hard. It makes me sick to even bring it up because it's so easy. But the brainwashing of the people is going to take God's visitation to break this chain from off of folks' necks. See you back here next week. Tune in. Wednesday night for Bible study. I think Rashid will be teaching this Wednesday night. Back here again next week at 1:30 p.m. Stay out of trouble. Stay away from crazy folk. Stay away from folks that try to undermine your salvation. Stay away from people that try to malign you. Stay away from people that try to sow into your discord about other Christians. Stay away from people that try to discourage you. And for God's sake, stay out of the devil's matrix. Be blessed. Have a good week. And prosper.